Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim M. Green speaking. It's good to be back with you again. We've been discussing some very interesting subjects on the area of curses, and we want to talk a little bit more about that today. And you know, the Bible plainly tells us that God's people perish for the lack of knowledge. And I really didn't know there was so much involved in our Christian walk until I really got in and began to study God's Word, and He began to speak to us prophetically and give us revelations of some things. And it has changed my outlook entirely on our Christian walk. You know, no longer I'm just waiting to go to heaven to see Grandma. You know, it's usually taught in traditional churches, you know, well, let's just wait to get up there. You know, there's a lot of work that must be done on this earth. You know, God's kingdom must come to this earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's heaven like? Heaven is a place of sinlessness. Heaven is a place of authority and power. Now, God wants to bring that kingdom down on this earth to where it'll be here. See, and the whole traditional teaching in church today, well, let's just endure our Christian walk and let's just wait till we get to heaven. Brother and sister, let me tell you, let's bring that kingdom of God down here. It's not just in word, but it's in power. And God expects His people to manifest that power down here and to put Satan out of business, to put him totally underfoot. And this is a vision God has given me personally. Praise God, I'm really excited about it. But there's a lot of preparation and a lot of things that must take place down here in order to see the kingdom fully set in. Glory to God. And this area of curses we have been discussing plays a big important part. And of course, people say, what do you mean, curses? You know, we're not under any kind of a curse. Well, let me tell you, as far as regarding our final salvation, you know, and what we're going to have if we continue on with God, we may not be affected, but we can be affected now. See, it won't affect our walk at the end as long as we stay with God, but we can be affected by curses as we walk as a Christian. And we have been talking about this, see. And of course, some people, you know, they deny this, stating the fact that Jesus died to take away the curse. Well, He did die to take away the curse. He also died for the entire world, according to John 3:16. See, but if we were to follow this carnal reasoning, everyone would be automatically saved. But we know that's not true. Not everyone is automatically saved, although the provision has been made, potential is there, and its price is paid. It doesn't happen. We must personally apply this. And it's the same thing in the area of anything that I have been talking about. It must be personally applied for it to be in effect. See, we have all power in Christ Jesus, but let me tell you, why do we see so many Christians falling by the wayside? Why do we see so many Christians falling into sin and living in sin? Why do we see them living a defeated Christian life if we have all power? See, He said, I'll give you that power to tread over serpents and scorpions. Now, where is the power? Why don't we use the power that's available? See, it's because we must personally apply that. Okay? Now, I just want to get that across to you, that not automatically everything is ours just because Jesus Christ has given it to us. We must receive that. Praise God. And when we got Christ in our life, in our heart, we have all potential to be manifested sons of God, letting that power be manifested through a people upon this earth, demonstrating to the host of hell that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus' death. But brother and sister, we must apply the principles that God laid out in His Word. And according to 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For four things. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, that word perfect is not sinlessness, but it means mature, unto a perfect man, unto all good works. Praise God. And this is why God's people perish. They may not physically die, but they perish. They dry up on the vine. Why? They need more knowledge in the area of applying some things. And I'm not just talking about doctrine. There's too many people just trying to split hairs over doctrine. Well, how do you baptize? What name do you use? You know, we try to accumulate all this doctrine. Listen, there's more to walking with God than just getting doctrine. There is a whole realm of knowledge. And this is why the Lord has got me on this area of curses, because many of you Christians out there are affected by the very thing I'm talking about. If you would open your ears and believe with your heart, you would see. Quit being a skeptic on this thing and open your heart and your ears to it. Praise God. So, I'm going to talk tonight, and my context is going to be out of Proverbs 26:2, where it says, the curse causeless shall not come. Okay? Now, what does that mean, the curse causeless shall not come? Which means a curse can come, right? That's what it's saying, but it can't come without a cause. So I want to talk about today, what causes curses? Why do they come upon the children of God? You say, oh, that was all in the Old Testament. You know, we're under grace. All that's been passed away. Well, brother and sister, let's see if that's true or not. Let's see. And the last broadcast, let me quickly review some things that I was talking about. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 7, tells us, keeping mercy for thousands, for iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, here it is, visiting the iniquity of the fathers up on the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, it repeats the same thing in Numbers 14, verse 18, and then it comes again in Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 5. It repeats the same things that God visits the iniquity of the fathers. In the last broadcast, I was teaching on the sins of our ancestors, our forefathers. That if they were sinful, which they were, you know, we're all born sinners, but I mean, if they were, say they were Christians or non-Christians, we can have curses passed down generation to generation until we receive those curses in our life. This is what I'm trying to bring out the best way I can. See, say our great-great-grandfather was a high-level witch or a Satanist. Say that. All right? That God cursed that person. That curse was carried on down to the fourth generation. That curse could have come right on down to us, and we come along in this world innocently being cursed by God because it's scriptural. Okay? I don't care if we're under grace or not. I don't care if you're a Christian. That curse can still go. It never said it stopped when we got to the New Testament church. It didn't say anything about it, did that. Jesus Christ did take away the curse, but he was talking about the curse of the law. Praise God. See, but we can't follow that line of reasoning because there's a lot of things we must personally apply, so we need knowledge to know this. And I tell you, this is true, what I'm speaking on. I would never believe this unless I got into this realm of working in deliverance and casting out of demons. I would have never believed this was possible because I was never taught on it. But I'm really beginning to see it, how true it really is. And you know, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. I like to add those extras in there because we need to hear it over and over and over and over to perceive what the Word is being said. Praise God. And this is why I keep going over things over and over until we sometime will come in grips and say, yeah, that's exactly what that means. That's what God has done with me. You know, over and over and over. Now, I just want today briefly to talk about three areas why curses will come. Okay? Now, you can just relate these to your own life. I don't know where a lot of you is living. God does. But let's just say you're a Christian and you're really struggling to be right with God. I know there's a lot of Christians really want to go with God. They want to be in His end time purposes. They want to live a clean and holy life. But you know, they've got habits. They're addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to fornication, to the things of the world, and they can't seem to stop it. So what happened? Jesus said He died to take away the curse, and how come we're still affected by these things? Okay, now this is what I'm getting at. If we would just put ourselves on the firing line and let God shoot at us with His Word and let it hit us and let it go in and penetrate, then we could grab a hold of some of these things and say, man, I'm going to apply this. I'm going to see if it works or not. Brother, it will work for you. This area I'm talking about has changed my life. I've had some curses broke over my life personally, and it is marvelous how I feel inside. And I was not dabbling and living in sin. I was trying to live a holy life for God. We tried hard. But there are certain areas that was always a mental block there. I just couldn't seem to press past. Okay? And I'll talk about some of these things as we go on here. First of all, I want to say, you know, God gave Israel the law in order to teach them to recognize sin and know its meaning. Okay? That's why He gave them that. See, and the law of God warned of specific consequences from result from specific sins. Now, there were curses of the law, okay? Keep in mind, there were curses of the law. And they were intended to deter sin by warning about the results of sin. Now, although the law was from God, it was good. God gave it to them. Satan, our good old friend, our good old enemy here, took advantage of the curses to bring destruction against the human race. Now, since the effects of a curse are not just on a sinner himself, but also on his offspring. Now, get this. This is what I'm saying. They are on their offspring, or on their children's children, these curses. And Satan, God has cursed those people, and then Satan jumped right on the bandwagon with that and made it a little bit harder for the people. See, the effects of curses include such things as deformities, handicaps, retardation, mental and physical illness. Boy, do we see this in the Christian circle. Bad habits, addictions, negative personality traits, fears, my goodness, compulsions, obsessions, immorality, accidents, calamities. I could go on listing some things that affect us Christians. We're not just talking about the sinners now, okay? That affects us Christians. Why? Why is this? It says by His stripes we're healed, and how come we're not healed as Christians? What's wrong? Well, I can tell you, brother and sister, sometime it may be a curse on our life. That curse must be broke before we can be healed. A demon may need to be cast out before we can be set free. You say, ooh, demons. I don't want to talk about demons. They scare me. The Bible talks about a whole lot about demons and Satan. It's full of it. The prophets talked about them. But you know what the Bible also says? Said the demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be afraid of them. They're afraid of that name. But if you're not using that name, then they scare you. I am alarmed how many Christians are afraid of Satan and demons. They don't even like to talk about it. They say, oh, let's not dwell on the negative. Let's not talk about the devil. Let's not give him too much glory. Let me tell you something, people. That is the greatest deceptive work he's worked in a Christian's life, is not paying any attention to him. There he goes about his business destroying us. The thing we need to do is spot our enemy and put him under our feet. Don't let him come in and take our lives. I've heard so many people say, oh, I'm suffering for the glory of God. I'm dying of cancer. Glory to your name of God. Now, why does God have to smite us with cancer? Why does he have to smite us down in our bodies? He don't. Satan does the dirty work. So we need to check and see why we are being smitten. Now, I have broke through this wall with a lot of people that a Christian can have a demon. Now, I know we're on the two new times on the radio on Saturday and on Sunday. And for some of those people that will be listening, they have not heard this teaching. And if you're interested in this teaching, write us at Free Love Ministries and I'll send you some literature on this. And I'll be talking more about this, that a Christian can have a demon. They can. Now, I want to get across to you, I do not believe a Christian, a born-again Christian, walking with God can be demon-possessed. I have never taught that. I will never teach that. I do not believe that. But a Christian can be demonized. They can possess a demon. Not a demon can possess them. Okay? And demons are evil personalities. And we'll break through this some more as time goes on. And people just get real squeamish when they think they might have a demon. But you know, they think nothing about sitting in front of a television taking in all the filth of the world. They don't think anything about seeing somebody murder somebody or rape somebody or rob a bank. They don't think of anything letting their kids sit in front of these satanic little cartoons that goes on. But you talk about a demon, they'll throw up your hand and say, Jim Green, you're teaching false doctrine. Get him off the air. Hey, this is true. Praise God, this is very true what I'm saying. Okay, well let's go on here. Now, there are three ways that a curse can come upon us as a Christian. Now, number one, and we looked at this last broadcast and we just read the scriptures, sins of our ancestors. And I want you to know, if you've got American Indian heritage or Mexican heritage or black, English, German, we have found these races here to be very open for curses and demonic attack because of the heritage. I've dealt quite a bit in the American Indian realm, and they are a cursed nation. I know, I gave myself over to that American Indian religion when I was in the world. I gave my heart to it. I did a lot of those things that those American Indians did. I used to worship the sun and the moon. I used to splice my arms and offer my blood up to the sun and the moon. I did a lot of horrible things trying to find God. Well, I call it the Great Spirit. And I've dealt with people that are American Indians. And you know, we have found out they have got a lot of curses in their life. And this is where we came into the realm of deliverance, of casting out some of these demons, hereditary demons and curses that have been passed down from generation to generation through the bloodline. Okay? Same with Mexican. Same with black. In our area of witchcraft and voodoo, you can bet you there are curses on people that has that heritage, okay? English and German, very heavy into witchcraft and magic. Take it for what it's worth. I know, I've experienced this. This is not just something I've read in a book. I've experienced this. Praise God. Now, we've read the scripture there where God will visit the iniquity of the fathers down to the third and fourth generation. And we also read last broadcast in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 and 3, that through the area of incest, or the sexual perversion, they are cursed 10 generations. Okay? 10 generations God curses the people. Satan don't curse them. God does. Okay? Now, that's one way that we can have a curse come upon us. Okay? The second way is through our personal dabbling in things. Now, listen. I wish you would just take heed to this. And if you've got a pencil and paper, write down these scriptures. Deuteronomy 27, 15 through 26. And also Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. You definitely need to read this. You need to read the blessing and the cursing. I want you to read that and see how many times God curses people for what they've done. There's a whole list of things that God curses people over because of the things they personally dabbled in. And I want you to know today, we may not be dabbling in some things like offering our children to fire, but you know today, in almost 1984 here, we as Christians are dabbling in the occult, and it's just as satanic is the thing that they did back then. Okay? Christians that dabble and play around the Ouija board. Dungeons and Dragons. Christians that run and read their horoscopes every day and play around the zodiac. People that get into yoga and transcendental meditation. Christians that dabble into fortune tellers, hypnosis, practice ESP and all, you know, that whole psychic realm there. Idolatry. These are some things, brother and sister, that God will send a curse upon you. You say, oh, I'm loved of God. You can be cursed of God, too. There's nothing says that curse has stopped. You can't convince me that just because we're under grace that, you know, we can live in sin. You can't convince me. I know the Baptists try to say this. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And, of course, the New Agers come up with this. You know, once saved, always saved. You know, we have the Christ within, the Christ consciousness. We are gods ourselves. Brother and sister, there's only one God. And we need a Savior, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to walk in the way He walked, a holy walk. And if you don't think your name can be blotted out of the book of life, I dare you and challenge you to search the Scripture and see if you don't find Scripture saying your name can be blotted out of the book of life, just as sure it was written in there. And I tell you, it grieves God's heart to see His children playing around with the things of the devil. And I know I hit a lot on television sets, but I can't help it. That is one of the largest tools that Satan uses in a Christian home today. You see, I only watch Oral Roberts in the news. Likely story. Likely story. That, people, is idolatry. It is surprising how many Christians idolize TV stars. Football stars. They get more excited over football games than they do about their own salvation. I don't have to dwell too much on this. Let it ring a bell in you. It's idolatry, and God will curse us for that. You say, I don't feel cursed. Then how come you're not walking closer to God? How come you don't hear from God? How come you're not overcoming now? Why are you not walking in dominion? How come you're obsessed with a lot of things and beat down and trodden, oppressed, depressed, obsessed? How come? It could be that God has cursed us for these things, having one of these occult objects in our house. Now, we can be forgiven for personally dabbling in some of these things, according to 1 John 1, 9. God will forgive us. But, brother, His patience will run out someday. You can't continually go over and over and over and sin and get by. You know, we had a woman sitting at our table here one time and told me her husband was in adultery and she was in adultery. You know, and they're very prominent in a large church here in Sacramento, one of the largest, very high ranking in the church. And they was both living in adultery. And I said, for heaven's sake, what do you think God is going to do with you? Continuing on. Well, the only thing she come up with, God loves me and I know He'll forgive me. She wasn't about to turn from her sins. because she liked what she was doing, and she was hoping God would just overlook it. Brother and sister, God is not going to overlook your sin. You must repent of those sins. You must get your heart right. I don't know where we've come up with the idea that we can live in sin and expect to be blessed of God. Satan will bless you. I am convinced Satan will bless a Christian to no end to keep him unsaved in the eyes of God, to keep him veered off in a realm of deception. I'm totally convinced. And they think it's God bless them. I'm not convinced. God abhors evil and sin. He don't come along and agree with it. Okay, enough of that right now. I hope you get convicted over this. Praise God. I get convicted over just talking about it. You know, there's areas in everybody's life that we need to come up on. I'm not perfect myself. There's a lot of things, you know, inward things. My attitude's towards God. My attitude towards God, people in the ministry. I have a hard time in an area a lot of times. You know, I have a hard time obeying God, doing what God has told me. What is that? Well, that's what we would term rebellion. That's a sin also. Okay, let's look at the third reason. I just love the Word of God. I tell you, it just makes us good to get a good spiritual bath and chastisement once in a while, don't it? Praise God. Number three, Christians can be cursed by witches. You say, oh, witches, I don't believe in witches. That's just for Halloween. They come out on Halloween. Oh, that reminds me. Christians at celebrate Halloween, I don't know where that's at. For heaven's sakes, I am surprised again how we give ourselves over to these pagan holidays. Halloween, we know, is completely a witch day, an occult holiday, but yet we as Christians put our little witches all over church windows, draw a little ghost all over, little Johnny and Mary run out with their little costumes on a witch's day, for heaven's sakes, and we're Christians. You know, God does need to chastise us, don't he? We are so ungodly in this nation. We act like, you know, Jesus Christ died in vain, you know. We go along and play around the occult holidays. Well, we can be cursed by witches because there are real witches. I've dealt with some of them. And I've dealt quite a bit in the realm of witchcraft, black magic, and so on and so forth. But, you know, Christians walking in knowledge and of their spiritual power and authority in Christ Jesus. Notice, I said, if we're walking in that, not that we have knowledge of it. There's one thing, brother and sister, have knowledge of something. There's another thing to walk it. We are a target for Satan. And let me tell you, if you don't believe what I'm saying on this, if you say, Jim Green, you're off the wall, you know, you've got a lot of problems, you try drawing close to God, okay? You start fasting and praying and giving yourself over to God. You start getting up at 5 in the morning seeking God. You start drawing close to God and see if you're not a target for Satan more so than you ever was. Go ahead and try it. It's one thing to point a finger at somebody being fanatical. It's another thing you do it yourself and let Satan come after you. And when you start exposing the works of Satan, you start pulling the mask off all these things and talking about Satan and demons and all this, let's just see if you get attacked. You will get attacked. You'll be a number one target out there because Satan has tried his best to shut up our mouths, to stop us. And I didn't know what warfare was until I come in this realm 4 years ago, brother. I mean, tell you, Satan used to just throw fire and darts. Now he comes over and drops missiles around on us, trying to completely destroy us. But you know what? Every tongue that has risen up against us, we can condemn it. That's my heritage. There's a lot of people speak against us. I can send it right back into your own bosom. It won't work because I'm walking with God. Now, we can break those curses and send them back to the sender. And I know we've had letters from Satanists. We've had letters from the high occult coverings, not coverings, but I guess you'd call them cults, esoteric groups. We've had all kinds of people write us nasty letters and say, you're cursed, your work is going to fall apart, you know, and mock and make fun. But you know what we do? Yeah, all that flood of the enemy comes against it. But you know, we turn that flood right back into their own bosom. We don't have to receive that. We can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirits, get on back where you come from. We do this contentment because there's a lot of it at least against us. Now, this is what I'm talking about. According to Psalms 109:17, we can break and send those curses back. Now, that's three ways. I'm talking about when somebody tries to place a curse on you or on your ministry. And listen, if you don't believe in this, it happens a whole lot. Now, in America, it's growing more and more, but you go to the mission field. I've been in 10 different countries. I've been in all Latin America down there, Central America, Colombia, Venezuela, Aruba, some places like that. And you see witchcraft at its finest. You see people living under curses. You see all these people that practice witchcraft, miserable, beat-down people because demons make them that way. They're not a happy people. And you can see people afflicted and even die from curses put on them. And you know, you can go to your local occult bookstore in this town and you can buy a little kit to say how to curse your enemies. It's being practiced by school kids now, grade school kids. And you know what? Demons activate this. They could care less if you're a Christian or a sinner. They just love to cause havoc in people's lives. That is their job, to kill, steal, and destroy. And curses will work. Now, it says, a curse causes shall not come. But you know what? If we open the door for curses, brother and sister, a curse will come. If we're living in sin and not right with God, if somebody wants to curse us, that curse will come on us. This is what happened to Balaam when he tried to curse the children of Israel. Balak said, curse them. Curse them. Get them out of this land. Curse them. You know what? He tried 2-3 times to curse the children of God, and it didn't work. Why? It says at that time they was not living in rebellion and sin. Had they been living in sin and rebellion, as other times that curse would have went on them, and God would allow that curse to go on them. But it didn't go on them because they was walking right with God at the particular time. And this is what I'm trying to get over to you. If you're not walking right with God and living in holiness now, you can be affected by these three things here. Specifically to the last, you can be cursed. And let me tell you, Satanists hate God. I have dealt with some of these people. They hate Jesus Christ with a passion. They say he's Satan himself, and they say Satan is God. You can't always talk to people like that. They hate Christians with a passion. And they hate anybody that will stand up against them. Praise God. But you know what? They're miserable people. And when they try to place a curse on you and send evil, negative thoughts your way, they try to cause your business or your to fall and your life to fall apart. They try to send mental breakdowns upon you. If you're not walking close to God, that can come on you because there's nothing says it won't. You say, well, I'm under the covering of Jesus Christ. Are you? You're only under the covering of Jesus Christ as long as you remain under it. If you walk out and hold hands with the world, don't tell me you're under the covering of Jesus Christ. Now, that's stupid. And if you're running around practicing some of these occult holidays and participating in some of the folly of the world, don't tell me you're under the covering of Jesus Christ. A curse can surely come upon you. I have known people to die from curses. In the mission field, it's reported all the time. Get some good books on it and find out what witches and witchcraft people can do to the missionaries. They can curse them if they're not walking right with God. And God will allow curses sometime to come upon us to teach us many lessons. Praise God. But we've got to be careful, especially this day and this hour, of not dabbling around in the occult. Us, our personal dabblings into sin, because I'm sure as I'm talking to you, we can be affected by it. Praise God. And we've opened the door. Satan is waiting for us to open the door and he can come in. He has legal rights, you know, and the only legal right he has is when we agree with him. If we don't agree with him, it says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. If we resist him, he's going to have to go somewhere else, knock on somebody else's door. But brother, if you say, oh, Satan, come in. You may not just say, come in the form of the occult practices, brother, but you can say, come on in, let's compromise. Let's compromise the truth. Let's play around the world, and let's play around God at the same time. That is compromising. That's a deadly snare to us as Christians. Well, my time is up. And I just pray that you'll take heed to what some things I've said here, and I'll be going over a few of these, but I'm going to continue on. I need to get on the air of Soul Ties again. I taught on this before, but for the new station here, the two new days, I need to talk on Soul Ties, because this is another area that we can be ensnared, and we can be in bondage. So, just get down to business with God, and don't forget to read Deuteronomy 27:15-26. And Deuteronomy 28:15-68, and read those blessings and curses. Read and see how God can curse us if we don't do certain things. All right? Praise God. I just hope you do that. And until the next broadcast, God bless you.